All right, here with my brother Roy.
What's going on, buddy? Just living another day, buddy.
Yeah, another day. Said you've been playing a lot of music lately?
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah. I saw you're jamming with Perry and
Lancey Pants.
Yeah. How's that going?
Well, awesome. We got Lance on one jam session, but me and Perry kind of been working towards songs. Like, we're trying to take songs right now because we're going to do open mics, hopefully within the 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But we're just taking other songs, turn them into reggae, folk, or blues.
Hell yeah. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Eventually write original stuff.
Yeah, I got a couple things.
Just kind of getting a feel for each other. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. What's up? You do any drums when he's playing?
Cajones every now and then. Mainly I'm just focusing on singing. If Lance the Pants ain't there, I'm going to tap a little bit. But mainly I'm just trying to work on being in key.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the voice is an amazing instrument, really. And it's a, I don't know, to me it's the most fascinating instrument, honestly. And I'm, you know, I'm doing the same thing, figuring out how to stay on key, and there's so much to learn. It's like guitars I can pick up pretty well, and a keyboard and everything, but the voice is something else. It's challenging, and I guess that's why I like it. But anyways, man, for anybody who doesn't know you, what's Roy all about?
Roy's all about love, peace, and chicken grease.
Not chicken grease.
Actually, around August, September time, I started switching over to a vegetarian more lifestyle.
Yeah.
I've got Crohn's disease.
Uh-huh.
So,
Well,
I'm borderline Crohn's, basically.
And what exactly is that?
It's like IBS times 10,000. Sometimes when you, like, let's just say things don't get digested before they get to the end.
So, do you think it has a lot to do with diet?
Since I changed it, here's what I've noticed. I've went from hot coffee to soft serve ice cream to solid poop doing this.
Interesting.
And, like, the whole time in the military, I was liquid. Yeah. Liquid every day, like 6-7 times a day. Sometimes you get sick from it. Yeah. Sometimes you just feel pain go across from your abs all the way up, down to your legs, and you just don't want to move. You sit there with a bucket.
And so vegetarian has been helping?
Yeah. I eat meat on Fridays. If I'd miss Friday, I'll pick one day in the weekend and be like, all right, I'm going to go have sushi or something.
You notice any other kind of benefits?
Maybe
more energy or
cleaner energy. I feel like not weighed down after lunch.
Yeah, it's because you're knocking away, like taking away all those carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I've noticed, I haven't gone vegetarian, but I eat a lot less processed foods, greasy foods, anything like that. Anything that's really heavy, I tend to stay away from, except for maybe like once at the end of the week or something. I'll have like a cheat day or whatever.
Right.
But for the most part, I stay as clean as possible, and I feel amazing. I feel great instead of being so bogged down all day, every day.
You don't get the itis as much.
The itis?
I got that from like Boondocks, that show.
Yeah.
Used to be on Adult Swim. He started that restaurant called the Itis, where you eat all that greasy food and just.
All right.
The itis.
So you mentioned your military career, which I'm kind of interested in, if you don't mind talking about that.
I was in the Marine Corps. I worked on aircraft, AV-8 Bravo, 6212s for anybody who's listening. I worked on being a plane captain and stuff like that. Launching jets, working on the engines, making sure aircraft were fit to fly, changing out the oil, watering the aircraft because the AVA Bravo, or Harrier, to people who don't know, it's that magical aircraft that flies vertically and then takes off. And it can take off normally as well. It's amazing. It's a beautiful Vistal aircraft.
Huh. And so what kind of took you in that direction? Was it after high school?
Exploration. No, I was beating myself up after high school because I dropped out. I went back. I got my diploma.
Yeah.
But I dropped out. I got tired of stuff in school. I wasn't, you know.
I wasn't either. Yeah. I wasn't the best student or just.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were subjects I did, but I skipped school.
Yeah.
I did all that stuff. I didn't really focus in on it. I didn't like school because school from the time I moved to Texas to the time I got out of high school was just not the funnest.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. And I feel like, I don't know, we all become of age. Like, we all hit a certain age. Every one of us is kind of different, but where we kind of just feel like that we get rebellious and we're not sure that this is it anymore. And it's almost like just probably because the way that the school systems are set up now isn't really, it doesn't really cater to us personally, yeah. To our personal passions and desires. And so, yeah, dude, it was hard as hell for me to get out of high school. And, you know, I did graduate. I did finish, but it took me 5 years. You know, it took me one extra year. But my thing was, I'm so fucking headstrong. Like, if I've set out to do something, I'm gonna fucking finish it. And my mentality, I mean, of course everybody's different, but my mentality was like, I've come this fucking far, I've gotta fucking finish, like, no matter how much I hate it. And you know, my brothers were completely different. They're just like, fuck this isn't for me. And that's understandable too.
Everybody has their own path.
Yeah, for
sure.
It's
just how you take it.
And so, got out of high school, you're kind of beating yourself up. And just like, fuck, I need to do something. I need to get out. I need to get away. And that was kind of your...
That was my getting away. Yeah. That was, I'm going to leave this town, finally.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of this town. I'm going to go see some things. I saw some things in the desert. Saw some tropical stuff. Saw a bunch of other stuff that I wouldn't see in my life. I didn't think there were snowy mountains in Arizona.
Yeah, there is.
I went there and I was like, are we in Colorado? No.
Yeah, you're
Flagstaff.
You were in Yuma, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Flagstaff is beautiful.
Oh, my God.
I think if... It's one of the places that I'm considering moving to.
Here's one thing I'll say. Anywhere in Arizona... The scenery will not disappoint
you.
Exactly. The sunrises, the sunsets, the cloud formations during the day.
Yeah.
Just the essence, like the emptiness that is the desert is a beauty of itself.
There's something mystic about it. There's always been something mystic. And I'm from Arizona.
Yeah.
I was born there. So, and I've always, since I left, my whole life I've felt drawn back. I felt drawn to it. And every time I'm there, it's just, it feels like a holy place to me. I don't know. I wanted to, since you had been in the in the Marines, and you had that experience, overall, would you say it was good? Or, I'm interested in people's military backgrounds, just because.
One thing I say is I kind of, if you ever studied South Korea and how they do their, when you come of age, you do that mandatory 2 years of military service.
And Israel does the same thing.
Yeah. More I went through the military, the more I realized is like, this is the world in a nutshell. But the one thing they never teach you in the military is like, because you're under the radar. You're that blip 24/7. People know where you are. People mm-hmm. know who you are. And you have a time and place to be at all times. And that's the one thing I hate about it is that when you transition, that camaraderie, that everything, that everyone just, hey, I know my neighbor. My neighbor invites me over for dinner. I'm going over to base housing because all this, that kind of just, you know, snaps away.
Yeah.
Because sure. You go back into the real world. Your neighbor don't care really much about you next door. Yeah. Like, hi.
Yeah. I have heard that a lot, that a lot of people coming out of the military do miss the camaraderie, like, the most. And I don't think our society is really set up in a way to accommodate our soldiers returning. And that's why it's so hard for soldiers to acclimate back to society, normal life here, and a lot of them just end up becoming career soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, and it's weird, there was a book that I read called Tribe, I believe, and it talks about how close we become in those situations, how community plays a big part in our happiness. And even though you see it a lot in like war-torn areas, that families who don't have a lot, they still smile because they have each other.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing for, you know, our soldiers, the American soldiers. A lot of them over there, you don't have much over there really as a soldier, but you do have all your friends that are there with you. And a lot of them become your brothers, your family.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come back here, and it's kind of like you said, your neighbor doesn't give a damn, won't come over, have a beer with you. It's like, what the fuck? But so I think there is a great positive aspect there when it comes to our military, and even, you know, having like a mandatory military service. It's almost like a coming of age thing, like you said.
Yeah.
And
societies it's just, have been doing it throughout history.
Yeah. And I think that there can be a lot of positive things. Of course, we need military protection for a lot of things. But when you are serving, of course, in the state that we're in, you know, the American military, what has your whole view been on the wars that we're in, what's going on overseas? Did you think much about that, or?
Coming from someone, I'm a big historian.
Yeah.
I love history. It's just the same stuff that we had back, let's say, like 1180, is just being regurgitated today. We're fighting over stupid reasons for no point in gain. The only gain is to people who won't gain for the rest of the country. This war is being fought for personal needs,
for resources, it's
being,
become a business, pretty much.
Everything's a business. Take it down to the religion, which,
yeah,
religion all the way up, every one of them is a business.
Mm-hmm.
Now there is two sides to that sword, though, because there is good business, which are the people who are doing things right. Bad business, which every aspect of life has those two things. Because beyond everyone's perspective, nothing is good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
It is how you perceive it.
Yeah. It's subjective, really.
And that's where we create the moral being. But, God, I kind of ran myself off right there.
No, we're talking about maybe the historical...
The historical
aspect of the fact that we've always been warring nations, and it's always been somebody's desire for resources.
Conquest.
A lot of it comes to conquest and greed, power. And so in your service, did you feel like you were a part of that, or you were just... Because one of my things, morally, I wouldn't be able to serve... Just morally. And of course, this is not saying anything for anybody who has decided to serve or anything. It's just me personally could not morally serve this country in that way.
Gotcha. And like they say, like, you know, I try the vegetarian diet. I go to another person who, like, goes to a barbecue shop every day.
Yeah.
Man, I can't try that. It's... Everyone has their view, and everybody can do what they feel is perfect for them. Like, you don't want to serve. I didn't want to serve for the longest time, but I saw that as a way to get out. When I did it, miserable 3 months, miserable month after that, fun time while in the schoolhouses, and then get to work. All I saw myself was, is I was making sure that this aircraft went from point A to point B without killing anybody in the cockpit or it crashing down on anybody, killing anybody in the way.
Yeah.
That's how I saw it. And that's the thing about the military. A lot of people are like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to go kill people. No. If you're a 0311, you're going to go kill people. If you're a desk jockey, you're in like one of the S shops, You're going to be sitting at an office all day. You don't want to go fight people? Cool. There's the National Guard.
Yeah, there's something
for There is you. Something for everybody to get a little bit of something. Like, you can find any job in the military. Yeah. And despite what a recruiter tells you, oh, that job's not open, they're trying to fill quotas.
Yeah.
You can get that job. There's no way that that quota is filled because it's 1%. 1% of the nation defends the nation. Less than 1%.
Yeah.
So there's jobs open the whole time. But I learned it. I thought that working on aircraft would be cool. I was like, man, I like planes.
Yeah.
I don't like flying on them, but I like planes.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I worked on them, and I was like, all right, it's not for me.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot of other stuff. I learned first aid. I learned how to sew people up. I learned, I advanced in swimming. I got really good at shooting because you have to, in the Marine Corps, you have to do every year, a requal on your firing.
So it's interesting. And at least you did get some kind of a life experience. I mean, as for me, my life experience after high school was selling drugs. So it's like, you know, everybody has their own path, and it's so interesting, and I think it's so beautiful in any way, no matter what you're doing. And I mean, there's a lot that I learned about life from that lifestyle, selling drugs and being robbed at gunpoint, all that stuff, you know. It's I hate that I had to go through that. I wouldn't change it. Made me who I am, and I did, you know, learn a lot. I really had to do it to escape poverty in a way. I mean, it's that same story. It's just, I didn't want to live that lifestyle, but I bought my first car that way. I had nobody else who was going to buy me a car.
Right.
You know? So I bought my first car, and that allowed me to get my first job, start making some clean money. Yeah, that was kind of my coming of age experience. It's just going into the dark side of life and finding a way out. And throughout the whole thing, I've always had that inner thirst for something more, something greater. And it's played a big role in my life here, you know. My whole life, it's played a big role. That thirst for something greater. There is something greater. There's something more. I studied world religions my whole life. It's just always, it's always
fun.
Always been that thirst for knowledge and understanding.
You and, start to see where...
Where it all connects.
Where it all connects. Yeah. And
all the dots connect.
And then you see the little variables in between.
Yeah. The branches.
Religion is freaking awesome.
It's fascinating.
I'm not going to say practice it, people, but read the Satanic Bible.
Yeah.
It is eye-opening, but it is not my way, so don't worry. I'm not a Satanist.
Yeah.
But their commandments are like, if a man or woman is to rape another, they should be castrated. I mean, that's Old Testament stuff right there.
Yeah. And that's what... See, a lot of people think of Satanism, and they've got all their... preconceived notions and all the stigma that's around it. But like you said, if you read it and you study it, just not to practice it but to get an understanding, you'll see that a lot of their commandments are, they're all just like the rest of them.
Morally, they're
moral codes.
Yeah.
And none of them are what I would consider evil. A lot of them are good moral codes to live by. And It is so fascinating. And I just like you, man, I've been a student of history my whole life, been obsessed with it. And I think it gives me a better grasp and a better understanding on what's going on here. And I'd rather know than to be ignorant.
Exactly. And it goes as the old saying goes, if you do not study history, you're doomed to repeat.
Exactly.
Well, we're doing it.
We are doing it.
I believe we are coming into a new dark age. This one brought on by technology. Not a big fan of technology. A lot of people know that. I mean, I got my Xbox, I got my TV, and I got my laptop.
Yeah.
That's my tech. I play my Xbox. By the way, Hey Bill Bandit, if anyone.
I'm not. I'm not so sure it's leading us into a dark age. I can see how it could, but I can also see how it can lead us into a brighter, more unified age.
True, but it's unification under, like... See, it, all right, I have major... One thing I stopped watching TV about 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't really enjoy it. I don't like the news, everything. Yeah. I watch this news, and then this news is saying the exact opposite of what this news said. And
they're just biases pushing their own agendas.
Exactly. And then when the Democrat refused to do Democrat things, CNN changed him to a Republican underneath the thing. And
Same. See,
it's that divide and conquer society we live in. Yeah. And see, technology brings into that, like... The news, they give you these false information. I don't know why on the Dallas News I got to know why Bobo the dog had puppies.
Yeah.
Why am I not finding about this 13-year-old boy who just discovered how to clean up the ocean with this little machine he created?
Yeah. Well, see, that little machine he created is technology. And that's how it goes to show what technology can do for good. And I think without the information technology that we have access to today... I think the information technology we have now has given us the opportunity to see through the lies and to be able to communicate on a mass scale, to have information at our fingertips, to be able to share that information with each other. Of course, there's a lot of... we all get stuck in our own little echo chambers and our own little bubbles of people who... You know, a Republican, all he sees on his timeline is a bunch of Republican bullshit. But... information technologies has given us the opportunity for alternative press to rise up so that you don't have to watch Fox and CNN. You know, those things they're on a decline. And the reason why they're so fucked up is because they're trying to find some way to combat the information technologies because they're losing to it. There's information all over the web for us to access and that we do access and that we prefer over that mainstream media. And so they're coming up with all kinds of bullshit to try to bring us back in. And it's just not working for them. And so this technology, information technology, is ushering in a new age of awareness in a way. And
it goes back to what I originally said, like, you know, how every... thing has a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
There's two sides.
Pros and cons.
There's good technology.
Because you can say all these good things about technology. I can make it sound great and wonderful, like it's going to lead us into some utopian society. Then again, we could lead us into a dystopian society when you have Big Brother being able to listen through every single microphone. You know, we've read 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And so... There's both of those things, and even when you come to artificial intelligence, and everybody has that fear of artificial intelligence taking over, and
I say bring it on.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is, it's exciting, and I'm all about excitement of life. You know, to me, that sounds more fun. If we go into war with artificial intelligence, like this is some kind of Terminator movie, that life is way more exciting to me than my everyday fucking commute to work and, you know, same old cycle, same old bullshit, different day. But if we're at war with machines, man, that sounds...
Right?
That sounds pretty fucking John exciting. Connor. Yeah. but these are exciting times, man. So exciting.
It is.
And,
I mean, one of the things I say to downlookers why I say technology dooms us is because the mass majority uses the technology for... I mean, I pull up my phone, I basically have access to all knowledge granted to people through internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna...
Do we use it that way, though?
I'm gonna watch a makeup tutorial.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm gonna... See, I watch all this stuff. I started watching this dude named Sadhguru, Corey.
Oh, I love Sadhguru.
He started opening me up to a bunch of things, and then I started branching off, watching other people off Mystics of India and all that stuff.
Well, the thing is, like you were saying, you can pull out your phone, and you have the choice of whether or not you want to study, you know, everything that we've learned throughout history. If you want to study ancient knowledge or... all of the possibilities, but you watch, you pull up a makeup tutorial.
But there's also that double-edged sword again with that makeup tutorial. Maybe they're watching it to learn how to do their makeup.
Exactly.
Or are they...
Or if they are, you know, if they're makeup artists or something, and they're, that can be used for good. But I get what you're saying when it's most of the time it's people who are looking to be distracted. Mm-hmm. They're looking to be distracted from life because they're looking for external things because they're scared to go inward.
Yeah.
Into the internal being. They're looking for all of the external things to distract them because they don't know how to handle what's inside. And that's why you see the rise of anxiety and depression in society today, is because we've never been taught
how to... We fill the hole. We don't solve the problem of the hole. We just
kind of numb it and distract ourselves.
Put some water in there.
Yeah. And we haven't been taught how to handle these things and these... feelings, and to go inward to solve these problems, and instead of trying to solve it with external things. So there's that thing of being human, and so a lot of people who are worried about technology is they're afraid that it's going to take away our human nature, the human things that make us human, and that's understandable because I do love being human. I think it'd be pretty fucking awesome to have like robotic legs and I could jump over buildings and shit. But, you know, jetpack and all this kind of shit. But
I'm still waiting on the laser turret.
Yeah, right. and who knows, man? Maybe we will become the machines.
Who? Daleks. It's like Doctor Who. I don't know if you ever saw the show.
No, I know of Doctor Who.
The Daleks were once a race that they fought a war, that they fought it so long they didn't know why they were fighting. They just kept fighting. Well, Davos takes his people and shoves them into emotionless tin cans that are indestructible and can kill you in one shot, but they have to use emotion to it. So they're like, when they're screaming, please help, it actually is saying, exterminate, exterminate. Shit. So we forced a whole race of people into the Daleks, and now the Daleks are the scourge of the universe, killing everything. Start the Time War. Spoilers!
Yeah, you should have said that.
There's no spoilers. if you start in with Chris Eccleston, Ninth Doctor, he's pretty awesome. I'm going to say the Ninth. You'll find out. Oh my goodness. 2005, Rose Tyler, David Tennant.
So... is Doctor Who, is that, I haven't watched it, of course I've heard it, I know there's it's got like a cult following.
He's a madman in a box.
Is it kind of Twilight Zone-ish?
No, yeah, kind of. He fixes boo-boos in time, that's why he's the Doctor.
Okay.
He's not the, like, you know, he's there. He heals the universe. The Doctor Who, I feel like everybody should watch Doctor Who because he tries his best to keep everyone alive and to solve everything without violence. Mm. Everything.
It's interesting.
The only time he'll have violence is when something you screwed up.
Yeah.
You screwed up and they're like, everybody's like, oh. And that's when you have like the series long episode where it's like, ah.
So.
Spoilers.
You started talking about Sadhguru, and you said Corey kind of opened you up to some of these different teachings. And even you told me the other day that you've kind of started going on a self-exploration, inward journey. So kind of talk us through that. What's that been like? How is it?
I'll shorten it up at the beginning, and then I'll get into... So... after I got out of the military, you know, the loneliness thing and all that, had to really work on it. Never really did push it aside because I'm a man. Oh,
yeah.
Big,
yeah.
Strong man.
Yeah.
I found a single moment of bliss in my life. And that moment of bliss kind of just mostly on my part. But on that, I learned, like, I need to fix myself. I need to learn how to deal with solitude. I went into solitude. Got off all social medias. Sat there. Thought a lot. and just sat there and just, I would think on things all day because I was in a full leg cast, basically. It was a leg brace, but I couldn't take it off. And I had to always keep my arm up. So I sat in a chair for 3 weeks. I mean, I'd make my way to the bathroom and do what I had to do and whatnot. I wasn't that nasty. But for 3 weeks, I had a lot of, I can't play video games. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm stuck in this chair. And there were so many times while sitting in that chair, I was like, man, I just want to grab my gun. I just want to go into the bathroom, make it easy to clean up, and end it all. And that's when I started thinking on it. I started thinking about death. And I feel like, you learn how real scary it is. But you also learn that it's the end game. We don't know. We find out the answer to life is death. This is the greatest thing a man can achieve in his life. Or woman. I'm not biased. But I learned to, like, console myself with that. I was like, man, I'm not afraid to die. When it happens, it happens. I'm going to be here just going, oh, about time.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking on other things. Like, I figured out, like, I don't need people all the time in my life. I tried to hang out with people every day. I'm used to it. Yeah. Every day is like me, Donut, and Irish going off drinking, sitting in a kiddie pool, drinking, playing hockey, going to Filiberto's, going to the bar, just doing that all the time, all the time, all the time we had that was free time. We were always on an adventure. I come back, it kind of stops. It really does stop. I try to hang out with people, and I learned I got to stop hanging out with people every day. I got to learn to, rediscover. I walked through many doors, took day journeys. Finally, I ran into this dude named Roy.
Yeah.
And I was like, who are you? He's like, I'm Roy. I was like, I'm Roy. He goes, no, duh. He's like, basically, this is what you are. This is where you're at. This is where you need to be. And this is how you feel. Like, that's when I was like, the other day I posted, I just want to be goofy and play music the rest of my life. I've always been goofy.
Yeah.
I've always been that guy doing all the goofy stuff. Does it get a laugh every time? No. But I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, one thing I was like, I don't really care how people think about me anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be goofy. I'm going to do what I want. Like.
So do you think it was the best choice you could have made was to go into that dark place and go into the solitude, go into embrace the loneliness and realize that really I'm all I have and that's okay. At the end of the day, I'm here, I'm stuck with myself. You know, it's nice to have people around and everything, but at the end of the day, you're all you have.
The end of life, and you're the only one laying in that bed.
And if you can't find peace with yourself in the solitude, if you can't embrace your loneliness, you can't embrace the darkness that you have within you, if you can't embrace the light that you have within you, then you're gonna remain lost. And that that depression is gonna sink in. And so from what it sounds like to me is that you went into that place and, like you said, you met yourself. And you kind of had that realization that I'm just going to be me. I'm not going to wallow in my sorrow and let everything that I thought life was supposed to be, I'm not going to let all of that bring me down because I know who I am and I can be true to myself. And that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a beautiful path. And I think that everybody needs to learn a lesson from you in that way. You know, you can be a teacher in that way to tell people that this is how, you know, when you see me smiling, this is why. It's because I've been there. I've been to that dark place. And I mean, I've been there myself a lot of the times. Been in such a dark, dark, dark place where, you know, like you said, you want to take your gun into your bathroom and end it all. I've put a gun in my mouth with the finger on the trigger, bullet in the chamber, just to feel it. Just to be in that place. Just to feel that fear. Just to feel that power. To know that this is all in my hands. And took a lot. I learned a lot. And it helped me become who I am. And when you have the courage to go into that dark place, to look at yourself, to look at all the things that you don't like about yourself, all the things that you hate, that you despise about yourself, when you go and you go inward, and it's like I was talking before, people are looking for external things to occupy their time because of what's inside them really scares them, and it's understandable. But when you go there and you feel that loneliness, and you go in, you look at all your problems, you meditate on them, and you learn who you are, why you feel the things you feel, and how you can overcome. That's the only way. We work through it ourselves, and we're the only ones who's going to do that. Nobody else is. So it is it's definitely admirable that you did that. A lot of people, you know, your age, a lot of people our age just aren't. They're not doing that.
Right.
And I think they can learn a lot from people like you who have.
Sometimes you gotta go into the darkness to find the light.
Yeah, exactly. There's always that, there's always a crack in there somewhere.
Always.
Where the light's shining through. But the only way you know is if you're gonna go there. You can't, it takes courage. It takes a lot of courage. Have you studied or have you experimented with any have you ever reached a higher state of consciousness where you're kind of outside your body to observe?
Not really to observe. I don't think I had I don't know if it was like the state of, because I tried this meditation out. You stay up for 48 hours straight, and then you sit down to meditate, but you keep constantly thinking about your objective of what you're wanting to think of. And as you do that, you start to go into this lucid state, because you're going to be falling asleep the same time you do it, which basically you will dream with your eyes open. Basically,
I've done that a lot, but it's mostly just through I do lucid dream, and I have battled with sleep paralysis a lot.
That's why I don't take Ambien.
Oh no, fuck that. There's a lot of reasons why you shouldn't take Ambien, but go on. So you're doing the meditation after 48 hours of being awake. You fell into almost a lucid
dreamlike stance. My body became warm, then it had no feeling, and then it tingled all across my body. Straight tingling, like your leg went asleep.
Yeah.
So I just laid there because I was like, I'm not moving because I hate when my leg falls asleep.
Yeah.
But I sat there and I laid back. And it wasn't like coming out of body experience, but I felt, let's just go Star Warsy and say a disturbance in the Force.
Yeah.
And when this disturbance in the Force happened, it was just like, that's when I came up with this list that I created. I posted on Facebook the other day. That's the beginning of it all, was this 48-hour stay awake, be miserable all day. Okay, you want to play games? Yeah, I gotta stay awake. And then I didn't feel tired. I didn't feel happy. I didn't feel sorrow. I didn't feel joy. I didn't feel anything. I felt no emotion.
So you were, to me, that is basically just saying you have become pure consciousness. Like, I don't, because where are we before we're born?
In the collective conscious.
Exactly. And I feel like that is that state. That is that place. What they call nirvana. And that's a it's a beautiful place to be in. And I've only been there through psychedelics, honestly.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Yeah. And
It's finding ways. I mean, I'm not meditating. Like, a lot of people are like, I'm doing a meditation, right? Oh, he's sitting there in a room. I walk. I listen to music.
There's so many different forms of meditation.
And when I because I walk and listen to music, and I just throw my sunglasses on. It doesn't matter where I am. I zone out.
Yeah. Nothing else exists.
Nothing else exists. I'm listening to each individual note, each individual beat, each everything just go in my head, and I analyze the lyrics, and I learn things from these songs, and I take them. I'm like, oh, that's sad as hell. All right.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you say, like, that state of non-emotion, when I got out of it, dude, I cried a little bit. Because I was like, I don't want to feel like that. Mm. I don't want to feel like no emotion. That was scary.
Yeah.
It was bland. Like, I like being happy.
Yeah.
I like making other people happy. I like bringing joy. I don't really want to bring sorrow. If you bring sorrow upon someone, that's how you start it.
Yeah.
You bring sorrow, sorrow goes along, sorrow travels, yeah. Travels. It's a game of telephone.
And eventually it's going to find its way back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for sure. That's interesting. It's very interesting. Something that I'm going to have to meditate on. Like, to me, that's powerful, what you just said. How you entered that place of nothingness. And you missed smiling. You missed laughing. You know, once you came back, and that's why you cry. It's because these are such amazing gifts that we have to be able to love and laugh. And to be numb, to not be human, it's a pretty sad state of affairs. And
been there, done that. Don't want to do it again.
And I think it, in that way, everybody can learn a lesson of embracing your human.
Yeah, it's just
embracing life and the fact that we do love and the fact that we do laugh. And these are the things that we
cry.
And we cry. And these are the things that we need to embrace and fight for.
Some people have, like, certain emotions that really power them. I feel like angry people, if they use that anger towards something, that use that energy and do something like,
do I'm something angry. Good for someone else.
Make a house. Boom. Yeah. Something. Yeah. Like, if you can put all that, emotion is what drives us. A lot of things that people don't understand is that our emotions, that's heart, head, weigh heavy.
Yeah.
That's why when Anubis, he weighs your heart. Mm-hmm. Because all you do in your life is based out of emotion. Now, emotion, yeah, comes from the brain, but we symbolize it as the heart. Mm-hmm. How heavy does your heart weigh?
Yeah. I've been battling a lot with whether or not we should be acting out of emotion or acting out of logic. That's been something that I've been contemplating a lot, meditating on, because I see how much emotion can lead us astray. It can. You see a lot of people fighting, you know, especially like over social media and stuff. People get caught up in their emotions and want to stand their ground and fight for something that they're emotional about. When a lot of, if we look at things logically, we can find a better outcome most of the time. If we can stay calm, if we can control our emotions and use logic to overcome these situations. To me, that has seemed to be the best path.
It also lays down to perspective.
Yeah.
Your philosophy. Most people work good on a logical scale. Most people work better on an emotional scale. And then you have the people who find that in between.
Yeah.
They find where logic has its standpoint and where emotions has its standpoint, and where you have to think above with the logic over the emotions sometimes. Sometimes you have to think over. You have to find the balance between the two. Yeah. I have nothing wrong with logic. I run a lot of logic. I'm ADHD. My brain, logic 24/7. Yeah. Finding a way to slow it is logic.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to look at it. And I think that is something that we all need to try to pay attention to, is where do we stand logically and where do we stand emotionally, and how can we use the both of them for the better good. I think acting off of pure emotion a lot of the time is not the best route.
Save it for the bedroom.
Yeah, there you go. But as a society, we would be better off if we could get to that point where we are understanding our emotions, but also understanding logic, balancing them out. And that's why I like to have these conversations. And I like, even you know, in my everyday, just talking to people and being more open with people. And instead of arguing, just have a conversation. Look at things from different points of views. And I think, going back to the information technology, this is becoming very prominent in our society. It's finding its way in. It's kind of snuck up on us, you know, with podcasts, all these alternative medias. They've kind of snuck their way into society, and now people are really getting a hold of it. It's crazy how many people are listening to podcasts and getting, you know, it's not like they're there to, I don't know, some of them, I was about to go off on something and I had a second thought because it's probably not right, but there's just so much information out there, and we can, it's available to all of us, and we can start to look at things outside of our own bubble. And I think that's a great thing, and I think we need to do that. I want to talk to people about things that I don't quite believe. I want to do a podcast with a Muslim, which I've got a buddy who's a Muslim, and I want to have that conversation just so I can get a better understanding.
It's great. I had a roommate that was Muslim. Learned so much from the dude.
Yeah. And
they're great for roommates, too. They don't use toilet paper.
And I've got a buddy who is an anti-vaxxer. Mm-mm. I don't know where I stand on some of these things. There's a lot about Islam that I find very beautiful. I find that a lot of it has been manipulated by man, same way Christianity has. But I would like to have a better stance on the subject. That's why I have a Quran. That's why I read the Quran. And as for anti-vaxxing, I'm not 100% sure where I stand on that. I want to have the conversation. I want to get this a girl, a friend of mine who's a girl. I want to get her perspective on, you know, why anti-vax. And then maybe have a conversation with someone who's not anti-vax. And just because I want to come to my own opinion. I want to see why people think the way they do. And I think this is just a beautiful age, a beautiful time for all of that. It's definitely an exciting time. It's a
great
time.
Day for philosophy.
It is. It's because these times are so strange.
They are. We come into the tech era, and we're the pioneers of the tech era.
Yeah.
We are. And the tech era is kind of, and the reason why, like, being the first of the tech era, we're the dumbest.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're the, like, what do we do?
Well, it's like, you look at kids these days who can pick up and use an iPhone better
at age two.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And so we're the dumb ones. They are going to be the smart ones, no doubt.
One day. Once they get past Tide Pods and stuff. You
know. Hey, man, we all had that moment.
They got to take the real challenge, a cinnamon-covered Tide Pod.
Exactly. But no, what people need to understand about that stuff is we've all been there. We had Jackass back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And if we had social media back then,
I got a couple broken spots on
me. If we had social media back then, you know, we would be looking just as dumb.
Boy, howdy we would.
Yeah. It's a lot of those things, it comes down to perspective. A lot of people like to give those kids shit, but they're just fucking kids. Right. Just like we were, man.
Just like we were. I mean, the amount of stupid stuff I've done in my youth, exactly. I'm just like, man.
Thank God there wasn't social media.
Thank God. I would have been fired multiple times. Yeah, right. I would have had this. I would have been gone. I forgot. I should be dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I should be fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But that's great. That's the great thing about being a youth. And that's what you should do throughout your life is take that sense of wonder from age one. Bring it out. Extend it as far as you can. I've gotten to the 27th year with it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think, like you said, man, I don't think we should ever lose that wonder. I think that should drive us all the time.
How do you invent new things? How did the guy invent the television? He had this sense of wonder.
It's innovation. It's, we shouldn't ever be afraid to be creative. Because at the core, that's what we are. We are the creative, you know, we are that creative energy. The flow of the whole entire universe.
We're also the destructive energy.
Yeah. So is the universe. I mean, we are. But destruction leads into new creation. When things die, those things lead to the birth of something else.
It's like what Corey brought up to me the other day, and it's a good thing to study. The Greeks built upon people. The Egyptians built upon people.
Mm-hmm.
Who did they build upon?
Yeah.
And like Göbekli Tepe in Turkey?
Göbekli Tepe.
Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah.
It's what, like 16,000 BC?
It's projected to be anywhere from 10,000 to 16,000 years old.
That's beautiful. Because the Sphinx is like what, 32,000 BC? 38,000 BC?
Yeah, it's been about that. That's the thing. A lot of people say that the Sphinx is 4,000, 6,000 years old. No. But you look at the weather erosion on it. It's water erosion, and there hasn't been torrential downfall like that in the Nile Valley since 13,000 years ago, at least.
Yeah.
And so that tells us that the Sphinx is way older than projected. But yeah, that society back then, that civilization, yes, we're talking 13,000 years ago, a great civilization of great talent and possibilities, creation. It's insane. That Göbekli Tepe is so fascinating. It was deliberately buried. It's huge too.
Do you think it was the ancestors of that area who buried it, or was it the conquerors? Because think of it, it's kind of like Rome with Carthage. Salt the lands.
I think it was, of course, this is just my idea, my hypothesis, but I think that it was deliberately buried by the people there when they were leaving because of climate change. And I think they deliberately buried it to preserve it.
Where do you think they went? Do you think those are the ones that went north?
They might have been the ones who went, coming from Turkey. Depending on, I don't know the dates, the ages and everything, but they might have been the ones who went back down into the Nile Valley to create the pyramids and the Sphinx and whatnot. I don't know. It's all up in the air. It's fascinating to study.
Right? You can't use time machines to go back.
Yeah. But there has been people who are doing amazing research into that field and of ancient civilizations. I don't know if you're familiar with Graham Hancock.
Yeah.
But I've got a few of his books, like Magicians of the Gods,
mm-hmm.
Fingerprints of the Gods. They're amazing. It's very fascinating stuff. And I do stand.
You got anything from Zachariah Stenson?
No, I don't.
Get the Book of Enki.
Okay.
It's a good read.
Yeah, I bet. I've heard a lot about it.
Enki is like that whole, like, alright, so I've noticed it because I've read it.
That's a Sumerian god, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The god of creation, water, and so he's basically God. But he's also Satan.
Yeah.
Because he was the one who granted us knowledge from the apples and all that. It's a weird thing. It shows up in Sumerian texts. Still a hypothesis. I like the way it goes because, like, I always had this theory when I was in high school that we were bred, like, that missing link is a fourth kind experimentation mutation that took us from Homo erectus to Homo sapien, or whatever, took us from wherever that point. But we learned knowledge, and as Enki was around, taught us all this stuff, and everything, he basically was the first god.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this is true. Like you said, we can't go back in time. We can't do anything.
Can we say that he was a real physical being, or was he other dimensional? Were these people so smart and so in tune with the capacities of their brains that they could access these areas of higher dimensions to have contact with these beings, these gods? And where do they lie? Were they physical? I kind of doubt it. They might have been from a different solar system. Who knows? But I would almost think that if we reached that capacity of intelligence, then interdimensional travel would be the way to do it.
Right.
And I think we can still tap into that. And I think that here in the near future, as we become more open to psychedelics and the worlds that those things take us.
There's baby steps.
Yeah.
We're getting cannabis there.
You know, and we might find that we have that same capacity for greatness that the ancients did. And to understand, where did gods come from? Why were they such great teachers?
Yeah, because these guys were tripping all the time back then.
Yeah.
I saw this bird made of lightning come to me, and he's a god.
There was an old Tibetan quote said something about iron birds. When birds are made of iron and horses gain wheels, then the Tibetan people would be spread across the world. And they're talking about like the spread of Tibetan Buddhism. When airplanes were created and when cars were created,
that be the Tibetan Buddhism, or could it be the culture of Tibet
spreading out?
Because there's a lot of people. Yeah. Oh, have you seen that ad on Tibet?
Yeah.
They're starving there. We gotta go help them. No, they're fine.
Yeah.
It's just they're starving during that time because it's winter.
Yeah, but you know, things like that are so fascinating, and I think people need to find a love for that again. To each their own, but it's been such a driving force in my life to know as much as possible, to gain as much knowledge and understanding of the world around me. And
it leads to more questions.
It always does. And I love it. Like, I don't want the questions to stop coming. I want to keep discovering. I don't ever want that to end. And, I highly encourage everybody to find something that they're passionate about. Go ahead and, you know, dive deep into that subject and see where that takes you. Mm-hmm. Because once you go in, you fall in love and you don't ever want to come back out of that thirst for knowledge. And I think if we all start to do that collectively, we're all going to find real happiness, love,
and answers
and questions, and let it project us, propel us into the future, and let's make this thing as beautiful and as good as possible.
You remember that question I posted on Facebook? I asked everybody to think about for a week.
Maybe not. What was it?
If you had $1 million, what would you do? That's kind of what you're seeking of knowledge. I thought on that question for a whole week, and I saw my morals
start to
change.
Yeah.
As I started to think more on it, I was like, I'm thinking more selfish. Do what I need to do for me, and do what I can to help my inner circle, because that is my community.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if I had $1 million, I would find some way to invest it so that I can set myself up to do things for others. I would you know, I'm probably going to have to spend some on me so that I can get to a place where I'm better prepared, so that I can be a teacher, and so that I can do great things for the world. Yeah, I think that's probably where I'll go with it. But if I meditate on it for a week,
you'll see.
Yeah.
You'll see, like, because I saw the greed come out of me. I saw, like, all this stuff come out of me, and I was like, whoa. And that's, like, and, like, it goes back, like, you know, communism doesn't work because we're susceptible to the seven deadly sins.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
Because those seven deadly sins are in all of us.
Yeah.
And it's just us learning to not really conceal them or hide them. It's to understand them.
Yeah. And
it's sometimes it's good to be a sloth. Hey, I've worked like
yeah
4 days straight.
I'm gonna rest for four days.
Like
understandable.
Gluttony, like you learn, like I got fat when I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And now I'm not fat anymore. Yeah. I learned about gluttony. Well,
you learned what it means to be fat, to be unhealthy. Once
you start eating and you just boredom eat, you just continue to keep eating. I was like, there was like 100 Slim Jims in here. Why I got like 5 left?
God. Yeah. And that can be a path to knowledge as well.
Right.
You know, all of the seven deadly sins, they can definitely be their own paths to knowledge and understanding.
No one really studies them, though. No one, like, well, can't say that. There's a lot of priests and fathers and bishops and deacons and whatever you want to give your title.
Yeah. But I think we're around an hour in.
Whoa.
Yeah, right? Flies by. I think next time me, you, and Corey should get together.
Oh, are we doing theology?
We should. I mean, we can. We can.
A Viking, or a rabbi, and
yeah, Jesse. Right. And Jesse.
Undetermined.
The three spiritual great things in life: Viking, rabbi, and Jesse. I'm just Jesse. I'm just me.
Right.
All right, guys. We'll appreciate you guys for listening to this one. Me and Roy will definitely get back together, go deeper. 1 hour just isn't enough.
Yeah, we got to plan. We got to do stuff. Yeah. A horse has to be involved.
Yeah, a horse.
Maybe
yeah,
some bungee cords.
And a drum circle.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'll bring the drums.
All right. Thank you, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.